Welcome to the Contact Center Expert Show. This show is hosted by Nancy Monroe, CEO of Verbal Transactions, a voice enablement technology company. Join our discussion on how you can make your contact center a well-oiled machine.
Well, welcome everybody. This is our first show of 2019, and you can tell they're all super psyched about today's show. All right, calm down. Well, welcome to our audience, and I want to welcome our guest, Sue Duras. So I'm just going to introduce Sue. Sue is the co-founder and director of marketing and customer experience of M4 Communications, a marketing and customer experience consulting firm that helps organizations build and grow their brands by coaching them how to be customer-centric, advising them on their digital transformation initiatives, and collaborating with them to design omnichannel experiences that engage employees and deliver customer value. She's received her BA in economics from the University of Colorado and an MBA from the University of California, Irvine. She writes and speaks regularly on customer experience, digital marketing and diversity and inclusion. And she also, in her spare time, sounds like, hosts the CX Chat, a weekly Twitter chat about all things customer experience. So welcome, Sue.
Well, thank you for having me. Excuse my voice. Just getting over a little allergy. I always love to talk about customer experience, customer support, what's happening in the contact center. Very, very important things for customers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you and I initially spoke, I kept running into a scenario where I'd reach out to a client, particularly on their customer experience side of the house, and try to position my product, which is a call center simulator, to help with agent performance. And there was very few times do I find that the customer experience people find that they have any accountability for the call center. So I thought that was a real big disconnect there. So I don't know if you've run into that yourself.
No, it is true. I mean, and actually jotting down some notes this morning about what we were going to talk about today, mm-hmm. and it is true. Sometimes the contact center is treated like an island, mm-hmm. a silo, but it's a very important piece of the entire customer journey. I know when people think about contact center, they think, oh, yes, that's who I call when I have an issue. Mm-hmm. And no, mm-hmm. I don't agree with that. And maybe some companies are treating the contact center that way, and mm-hmm. those, I would venture to guess, are not being successful with their overall customer experience. But there are some organizations that really understand, yes, the contact center is part of the journey, a very important proactive role. In addition to, there are other things that they're responsible for, like certain metrics, like first call resolution, mm-hmm. and things of that nature.
Right.
I've always been a huge advocate, speaking of advocates, that the contact center can take a very strong leadership role in building out a company's advocacy program.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I just posted a, because with all this hubbub about the wall, I says, does your contact center have a wall? Meaning, is there this big wall between customer experience versus the contact center? And one person who I read was saying the difference between customer experience is that it's customer service versus it's being defined as customer service versus reactive service. And meaning, I'm reacting to something, I have to call into the call center versus being more proactive, like you just stated. You know, that could certainly be a part of your advocacy initiatives as well.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And I did get a chance to glance over that. And it's so key that, yes, there's a reactive piece on everything. We're not going to, when we're doing our daily roles and we're trying to make experiences better for customers, we're not going to be able to catch everything. And there are going to be some things that we have to react to.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm. Right.
Is it a case of react or act? And I like to take the tactic of acting. Yes, the customer may say, hey, this thing happened. Okay, why don't explain to me the issue,
mm-hmm.
what's happening from your end, and what I will do, I will take what you're giving me, and I will talk to my internal. What happens so many different times is we go through the motions and we take the issue. We probably end up resolving the issue, but we don't close the loop with the customer.
Mm-hmm.
We don't
mm-hmm.
circle back and say, hey, Nancy, I resolved your issue. This is what we did. I want you to keep tabs on it. And I'm going to call
yep.
you in the next few days or week, whatever that you determine that's appropriate time, to see
mm-hmm.
if things are working better. That's closing the loop. And a lot of times
yes.
that doesn't occur.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I've had one vendor do that in the 28 years or whatever I'm in this industry. And it was so surprising to me, and they did that very successfully until they got acquired by a larger company. And so I think some of that accountability and some of that that kind of personalized touch or high level of touch for service kind of went out the window, which I was disappointed to see. And so now, you know, I've become just kind of a number to this bigger conglomerate versus – feeling like, wow, they did follow up. They are checking in a couple of days later. And so with all the technology and tools that we have today, it would be really easy to create those triggers and the workflow to kind of streamline that for an organization.
Absolutely. And you just started a very important thing that I'm very interested in to see what companies start doing. And that's the personalization piece.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole technology, you can't really start, and this is where companies fail. They see all these other companies, oh, I have to do this tech, I have to do that tech. Is this tech or that tech good for you or your customers? So you really have to find out and start with, what's my why? What's my purpose? What is the business problem I'm trying to solve? And third, how is it going to impact my customer? Is it going to make their life better? And
right.
the whole thing with the personalization, Salesforce had a very interesting metric that I've used time and time again in my own writing, and that
mm-hmm.
by 2020, over 3/4 of customers are expecting that the brand, the company, knows expectations, the preferences. So now's a good time for companies to figure out,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
what does my customer want automated so that they can go self-service, and what
right.
do they want to have a higher touch? And this is all a lot of discovery that it's so easy to do, watching behaviors, looking at the customer voice, picking up the phone
mm-hmm.
in 15 minutes. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
One customer a day. Thank you for your service. We really appreciate your business. How are you doing today? Can I ask you a question? Is there one thing that we could be doing better to make your life more simpler?
Mm-hmm.
And having that, because I think a lot of times we kind of use people in the field, sales says that a customer wants, what the behavior, online or offline behavior is, what their voice is, instead of picking up the phone and talking to them in the moment. There's so many hidden cues you can find.
Yeah. You're so right, because I was just going through an exercise here at my company where, you know, we're trying to, like, make sure that we're still being defined to the market the way we want to. And the one thing that I've said all along is we're not replacing humans with technology. We're using technology to help us have better human-to-human interactions. And so by being able to gather all that data and the insights of their behaviors, then that can, as you say, can be turned around into profiling them in a way that tailors providing them your goods and services in a personalized way. And again, it's not rocket science. I mean, a lot of companies have infrastructures today that are monitoring these things. It's just plain old follow-through is what it is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, boy, you're coming with all these great nuggets before I'm saying something, so we're totally in line in what we're talking about today.
That's great.
I've written that 2019 is, you know, but let me take a step back. We started with business evolution. It was engineering-centric. Then it went to product-centric.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's going to customer-centric, and I think 2019, it's moving to human-centric.
Yes.
It's all about the human, the empathic relationship. And data and technology is a driver to help get us there. It
mm-hmm.
shouldn't be the be-all, end-all. It's
right.
kind of like the brain from moving us from one point of our journey to the next.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest cogs in that wheel that will need to be fixed is the generation of employees that stand right next to each other and talk via chat instead of messaging on their phone versus actually having a dialogue with their own human voices. So that's going to be very interesting. There's a story I share a lot. Gosh, this is probably even 5 years ago, where these two girls, true story, were trapped in a well in Australia, and they posted something on Facebook to alert people they're trapped in a well versus using their phone to actually call someone for help. You know, because it didn't dawn on them they could use the phone that way.
That's funny, yeah.
So there may be, you know, so that's why... you know, I've focused a lot on keeping conversations in place and the science behind conversations. And there's lots of companies I follow out there. But even, you know, I think you're going to be speaking at the is it the HDMI conference or HDI conference?
Yes.
And that's really focused on, if I'm not wrong, kind of a tech support IT space. You know, and people kind of stereotype IT and tech support is not good communicators, but you know I know that to be not true. You know, it's just a matter of depending upon, you know, how you interact with them, what they're handling, what their perceptions of you are. So I think there's a lot that can be, you know, people are trying to replace that space with all of these instead of, you know, walking you through via a phone call. They're doing a lot of email support, a lot of ticket support, they're pushing everything into more of this automation space. And so I think, to your point, you know, maybe continuing to still introduce some person that reaches out to them after the fact, like you said, or at the front end, I've got your ticket here, just want to make sure I can, you know, really understand your problem here, because that's one thing Microsoft's doing right now, because we did a project with them. They not only want to know, when do they say the empathy word or when do they express empathy? But they're teaching them to be true problem solvers because they feel that that's going to demonstrate to the customer that they really are trying to listen to what's going on versus just jumping to conclusions right off the bat.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, and there's two problems with that. One,
mm-hmm.
if you jump to a conclusion without active listening,
mm-hmm.
one, you're probably going to get, you're probably going to go after the wrong issue to resolve.
Right.
Two,
right.
Three, people, when you're not listening, when you're not active listening, it comes across. I mean, people can tell. And, you know, that's a twofold problem. That's why it's really sometimes I know first call resolution and metrics and is very important, but, you know, if you don't get it solved on the first call, you know, that's going to impact your metrics. And
mm-hmm.
so it's really important to get down to that, do that root cause analysis. If you have to
right.
spend a little time, extra time that you'd want to on it, it's important to do it right the first time.
So do you have an example where you've worked with a client like that to help facilitate them understanding that or adopting that behavior?
Well, I work with a lot of startups who are very interested in customer experience and putting together net promoter score and different
mm-hmm.
things and creating a journey. And it's really important for them to really listen at each particular, whatever those moments of truth are. And the moment
mm-hmm.
of truth, I mean, your typical moments of truth are when you're doing research and you find out about the company, you are at that point of purchase or no purchase, renew, no renew,
mm-hmm.
Loyalty, no loyalty, all these pieces. There's other moments of truth that can be different for other companies, but really understand from the customer where you guys know where all these touch points are because we do a journey mapping workshop and we put down what's the first step a customer does, what's the second step, and all
mm-hmm.
these different things and where those interactions are. And is that an emotional piece? Is that particular touch point a tough one to get through and where a little bit more care needs to occur there so you can get them over the hurdle? Things
right.
of that nature.
Okay.
And doing the journey mapping, it's not all about internal because at some point
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to bring the customer in. Either you have them in the room when you're doing the journey mapping workshop
mm-hmm.
or you bring them in later. This is what we came up with. Is this what you're going through? And there are going to be differences. But
yeah.
it still boggles my mind why customers are in this process one way, shape, form, or another.
Right.
So
right.
those are things that I focus on with companies, finding out where these particular points, these touch points where there is a lot of there might not be a listening post, but it's a problem or it could be a problem if appropriate care isn't taken. So putting listening posts in different spots along the journey helps, makes things a little bit more convenient, reduces effort.
Yeah, I have not heard the term listening post before. I like that. It's kind of like a couple years ago I started really digging into how your voice communicates in a certain level of emotion. But I also said, well,
right.
where else in that customer experience? Because we all buy on emotion. I mean, that's like a given. We know that. What's your emotional state at every phase of that process? And I use Amazon as an example. I said, think about it. You know, you go online. They already have one of the first ones to personalize your buying, right? So they understood that right off the bat. And so you place your order. Guess what? You get your box, at home and has kind of their logo has a smiley face on it. So there's some kind of subliminal way to help change your emotional state. But it feels like you're opening, you know, a present, right? You know, it's like you know what you bought, but you're just still so excited to get that box open to see if it, everything's okay in there. And that's what, you know, so that's part of that emotional state and the emotional journey through that buying process when you're buying something from Amazon.
Yes, absolutely. That is an example, quite frankly. And I think another thing, what I love about Amazon, and yeah, you can control the preferences. I get an email a day on, this is what I searched. Here's some other ideas. And I mean,
yep.
I'd rather have too much interaction than not enough.
Right.
Because I can control the frequency.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I would agree with that. And years ago I worked out at Sears as a contractor. And, you know, I keep telling people Sears should have turned into Amazon, but they missed the boat on that one. And now they're really, it's a sinking ship. So unfortunately for them. But, you know, I observed them watching a video of customers being surveyed about what they thought about their shopping experience at Sears. And I was shocked that the people in the room whose paychecks come from those customers weren't speaking very kindly of those people. And I was just like amazed. I thought, okay, they're telling you exactly what's wrong with their experience, and you're sitting here making jokes about it. So I hope you're not the people that actually start making decisions about this, because, you know, that could be part of the symptoms of what went wrong. But what feedback or data collection from customers have you seen being most effective?
Oh, I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
Sure. So in what ways do you recommend that your clients try to collect either customer feedback or customer surveys, or is there a certain vehicle that you see gets a higher response rate than the most, just so that they can start to really understand what their customers actually do experience?
Well, you know, Nancy, we could have an entire show on net promoter score, because the people that don't like net promoter, NPS, are typically the ones that are using it wrong. And I'm sure you've been in the same place I've been, that you have a service call and the next thing you're getting is a net promoter score. How likely are you to recommend us to your friends and family and colleagues? Net promoter score is relational, and there's a particular time to take that. Now, if you're doing a service, survey after service, the best one is customer effort score. One determines, okay, what was the effort that you went through? And that's on a 5 or 7 point scale, depending on what you want to do. But in my opinion, customer effort score is the best gauge of customer loyalty that we have out there.
Great.
So after a transaction, I would do that. And there are particular times for different types of surveys. And coming back to the contact center, this is perfect for them to get involved in. That, we think that this survey should be at this point, this survey should be at that point. And you're also, as you're getting used to customers, you're learning about their habits. You're learning about their likes, dislikes, what's their pains, what's their motivators.
Sure.
And the more you treat them as one person, your best friend, as it were, when you're dealing with them, the more they're going to give you feedback. And if you maybe did an extra survey too much, a particular one, particular month, they're going to give you a pass because they see you're caring about them when they see that, they're going to care about you and respond
right.
by the
right.
post, respond with helping you to be better. I mean, think Jerry Maguire, help me help you. I think
that's right. Well, Zig Ziglar, I'm sure some of our listeners don't remember this guy, but he always said to help you get what you want, help other people get what they want. Same thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So in our last question here, I mean, what? First of all, I'm curious, when do you do your CX chat on Twitter? What day and time is that?
Oh, well, thanks for the plug. I appreciate it. It's hashtag CX chat. It's every Wednesday on Twitter at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m.
Okay.
Eastern time. And we have a topic on customer experience. And to join the conversation, just go to your search bar on Twitter and search for the hashtag.
Yeah,
CX
great.
Chat. And join in on the conversation.
Definitely. And so in kind of our closing thoughts here, what would you suggest to listeners out there? You kind of stated earlier about the human. The next phase is going to be the humanization and personalization. But is there one thing that you think that you've seen that companies really aren't paying attention to that they should be?
You mentioned about on Facebook that the two girls stuck in the well, and you were talking about neighboring employees. What I'm seeing is companies are getting it that employee experience is so important, because when employees have a good experience, they're going to be more engaged. They're going to be they're going to be giving their
engaged.
All.
Engaged. Yep.
Being employee advocate. What that results in, engaged employees create engaged customers, and that drives customer experience. So employee experience drives customer experience. And having everything aligned around culture. So culture plus employee experience plus customer experience is going to drive growth for companies. And that is the brass ring that every company wants. They want to grow.
Yeah, you're so right. You hit the nail right on the head. I think, you know, I struggle with that every single day with even our own product. You know, I said, well, it's a simulator. It helps employees gain confidence. It helps them feel more skilled at handling those. Because let's face it, in call centers today, most times they're not calling to get their password reset. You know, there's a lot of automation for that. It's more of the challenging things, and that's harder to teach, and there's a longer learning curve. So, but at the same time, it also is a way to ensure that you have a good customer experience. So it works. It's kind of the full ecosystem. I'm making employees happier, more engaged, more confident. That's going to then spill over into the customer experience to give them a better customer experience and relationship with that agent. So you're totally right, and I agree 100% on that. So it's nice to see that, you know, it's I see that sometimes people just giving lip service, but there's a lot of statistics out there that really prove that customer or employee engagement, higher engaged employees equal higher engaged and more loyal customers. So, you know, I want to thank you for joining us today, and we'll certainly be popping into your CX chat in the near future. So thank you for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you for the opportunity of having me. I enjoyed it very much.
And so did our audience. That was great. Well, thanks a lot, and I hope you get to feeling better.